Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:22 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 19th, and another interesting day in here, not least because the Fed is meeting today, and we should have some sort of announcement tomorrow. And potentially they're going to talk about how they're going to reduce the size of their balance sheet, but I think most people have concluded that this is an experiment on their behalf. They're not going to be doing anything drastic. They're going to simply experiment. And considering that the size of the balance sheet is over 4 trillion and a lot of that money has been tied up in the bond markets and in the balance sheets of banks, that the amount of liquidity that they can potentially withdraw is nowhere near the absolute total. So this could potentially be a non-event, but considering that we are in a period of time where there is a certain amount of uncertainty about the inflationary outlook, and the impact of technology, and whether that is going to be inflationary or deflationary, or the way that we're getting calls for higher minimum wages, and that we're getting this conflict between labor and technological innovation that is really only in a nascent stage and could potentially become a problem somewhere down the line. So there are lots of things to talk about. But against this background, where there are many things to worry about, we are presented with a stock market which is very steady, which has been completely absent of volatility. The S&P 500 is at the moment trading in the region of 2,500 points. It's been trading around this level for much of the last few months, and it is just about breaking through it, but it's doing so in a modest fashion. This isn't certainly isn't the kind of clear upward dynamics that would make everyone sit up and pay attention. It's simply at 2,506, and it was above that yesterday, so we got a couple of extra points in here today. And the Nasdaq 100 is trading above the 6,000 level, and again, not in a dynamic fashion, but and in fact, it is not trading above 6,000, it's trading in the region of 6,000, and wasn't quite able to hold on to all of the advance in here today. This has been incredibly inert trading activity over the last 3 weeks, and we know that that doesn't persist indefinitely, so we're likely to have a breakout or not over the course of the next month. And what I find interesting is that when we look at the really big mega cap shares, that Microsoft and Facebook are the clear outperformers right now. Facebook, for example, has got this rivetingly consistent progression of high reaction lows. It is somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean, but there is no sign of the downward dynamic that would suggest a mean reversion is imminent, or underway for that matter. But as long as it is holding that progression, and as long as it is finding support in the region of the trend mean following those reversions, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. A consistent trend is a trend in motion. The last two ranges have been relatively similar sized, and in fact, they have also been relatively similar in terms of the duration. So as long as it is trending and ranging in a very similar manner, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. A point that I've made previously is that a number of technology companies have adopted these subscription models, and that has certainly helped to influence the consistency of Microsoft's share or its chart. One of the key benefits of adopting a subscription model from the perspective of a fundamental analyst is that it becomes very easy to model their earnings, that they become much more predictable. And that then can contribute to a higher valuation. What it does, of course, mean is that some of these previously quite cyclical companies like Microsoft, which would have been depending on a surge in income from each new iteration of its software, now gets to smoothen out its cash flows. And it means that it turns from being a cyclical share into a more consumer discretionary or just consumer staple share, that it is something that people tend to pay for over and over. And that is a theme that is evident in a fairly big swathe of the big mega cap technology companies, that they are all adopting these subscription models. But when we look at both Amazon and Alphabet, they are trading in the region of $1,000. And they've been doing that for much of the last couple of months. And this has allowed Amazon to unwind much of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean without really giving up much of its advance. And it is only a few dollars away from the region of the trend mean right now, and also from that psychological $1,000 level. As long as this range remains reasonably inert, then the potential for it to be able to advance is, I think, probably still intact. And Google represents one of the most attractive teaching examples from the chart seminar because it is a picture of consistency. It tends to pause at these big psychological levels. Its reactions haven't been larger than $100 for years. Then it does tend to go sideways for longer than people might like, but by and large, the steps are one above another. And this is still a $100 reaction, and it has unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. And as long as all it is $100, then this is still a consistent trend, which is likely to break above $1,000 at some point. So we can look at these large cap shares. They're not of the five that are the really big cap ones. The three largest aren't making new highs. So what is making a new high? What is the thing that is really driving performance here? It's the Nasdaq Biotech Index. It's breaking on the upside again. And it broke out in June. It consolidated. It found support in the region of the trend mean, and then it pushed higher again a couple of weeks ago. It's paused to consolidate that move over the last few days. But as long as it is holding that upward bias and finding support in the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But what we are starting to see is that companies like Amgen, which have done really nothing at all for almost 3 years, are now breaking out. So that's not some small cap share, but a sector heavyweight that is breaking on the upside. And here's Celgene also breaking on the upside, following what was a really quite a lengthy period of consolidation. And what is interesting about both Celgene and Amgen is that they didn't pull back to nearly the same extent as some of the other shares. Gilead Sciences has been among the best performers over the last 3 months, but part of the reason for that is because it pulled back by so much, so it had further to go. Or it was an easier rally because it had pulled back already by so much. And I think Biogen is also worth keeping an eye on because it peaked well ahead of the biotechnology sector. It peaked in early 2015, whereas the biotech sector peaked in the middle to late of 2015. And now we have Biogen joining the party, and it broke out above $300 and completed that almost 2 year range, our base formation, I think, would probably be a better characterization of it. And this now represents another return to demand dominance and would suggest that what we've actually had is a rotation, that its biotech is really picking up the running here because it has been one of the sectors that has been so oversold, and that it is now returning to outperformance. That also gives us an indication that people have been bargain hunting, that they are looking at some of the rich valuations that we see in other parts of the technology sector, and looking around for bargains. And most of the bargains in the middle of this year were in the biotechnology sector, and this continues to look like a recovery scenario. This has also been a rather interesting time in Japan. What we're seeing is the Nikkei is now trading north of 20,000, and it hasn't done that, hasn't hit a level this high in 2 years. The last time it traded above the 20,000 level was following a very impressive advance in from I think really all the way from 2012, and it pulled back in a violent manner when the yen stopped depreciating. And the dollar has firmed up a bit, and it is back above the 110 level. It has broken the very short-term downward bias, but it really needs to get above 115 to confirm that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment for the dollar. And if it can sustain a move above 115, then I suspect that then the Nikkei will be able to pull away from this psychological 20,000 level. But when we look around the Asia Pacific region, what we're presented with is an increasingly large number of indices that are breaking on the upside. So, for example, the Nifty index is pulling away from the 10,000 level, and the Taiwanese index has already broken up, and then that is also on a very long-term recovery trajectory, considering that it ranged for an awfully long time already. But then Thailand has been not really getting an awful lot of positive feedback or in the media, but the baht is appreciating, and the domestic index is breaking on the upside following a fairly lengthy period of consolidation. Then the Indonesian market is also reasonably firm in here, and it is also pushing on to new high ground. So when we start to string all of this together, these are countries that are in the highest growth region of the world. A number of them have got young, vibrant populations, and they have, by and large, got improving standards of governance. So that is something that should help to push on to new high ground, and not least where we have evidence of a currency market appreciation that is not yet evident in the Philippines. What we have certainly seen over this year in particular has been that in countries where we have had accelerations lower in terms of the currency markets, that the central bank then moves in to raise interest rates, and we've seen that in, for example, in Mexico and in Turkey, and then you have a response in the stock market. Well, the Philippine peso has been going down since 2013. It's gone from 40 to 50, and there's no great deal of evidence just yet that the peso has stopped depreciating, despite the fact that the US dollar has been among the weakest currencies in the world this year. The peso has continued to decline against it, and that is helping to push up nominal prices in the domestic market, but it's probably not enough yet to really encourage the international community to start of investors to start getting back in until they start to see the potential for both currency market appreciation and capital market appreciation. And of course, then they will also want to pick up the yield. So where we have evidence of that is in India, where the rupee has been appreciating. The Indonesian rupiah has also been appreciating. The Thai baht is starting to appreciate. The Korean won has been doing better. And of course, the big heavyweight in the region that tends to sway the Asia dollar index is the renminbi. But the renminbi has been subject to some really quite acute volatility. So it strengthened considerably from almost 7 to very briefly almost down to 6.4, and it's currently trading around 6.6. But I think the more important point is that the dollar had accelerated lower against the renminbi, and now we're getting an unwinding of that acceleration. And when that short covering has run its course, then the most likely scenario is that we're going to get a retest of the low, or we'll get a pullback where we get a higher reaction low. But right now, the potential is that we get a reversion back up towards the mean. And Hong Kong did very well yesterday, and it was in, I think, mildly negative territory in here today. It is right in the region of the 2015 high, so there is the potential that we get some pause and consolidation around these levels. If we turn our heads towards Europe, then the FTSE 100 was in mildly positive territory for most of today, and it really does need to find support in this area. It's been a very choppy environment for much of the last 6 months. This represents the region of the trend mean, and it is a natural area where one might begin to think about where the index could find support. But of course, a lot will depend on what happens with the pound. And we are constantly treated to political uncertainty, where and I think Boris Johnson being described as a backseat driver over the last couple of days, and then speculation today that he may be ousted from the government, then that's all contributing to this uncertainty in the stock market. And also the pound is responding to a more benign environment with regard to Brexit. If there were a hard Brexit, I suspect that this reversal would be upended, or this uptrend would be upended, and we could go back and test the lows again. So I think what happens in the political front is quite important here. The gold price continues to pull back towards this $1,300 area, excuse me. And this is a natural area. It's the first area of potential support, and so far it has paused in this area. Meanwhile, palladium prices are unwinding their overbought condition following the push up towards 1,000. There is still a fair amount of overextension to be unwound in there. When we look at the broad commodity complex, there was some quite a lot of volatility in sugar in here today. And it is still in a clear downtrend. So definitely when we look at the commodity complexes, it's the industrial metals have been the clear outperformer. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.